Thanks for listening to the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time. That's 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the Best of the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What up, America? Doug Gottlieb Show, Fox Sports Radio. Brought to you by Discover Card. We treat you like you would treat you. When Troy Aikman calls out his former backup quarterback, you know it's bad. But what's he supposed to say? You know what's fascinating to me? We can all conclude that barring some sort of late rally, and it could happen. You know, it could happen. It feels like Jason Garrett is gone. And if you don't believe me, I'm going to play for you in a moment Jerry Jones on a Dallas radio station, his weekly hit, where in an effort to not say anything and to not get in trouble, he told us way too much. Way too much. Get to that in a second. But I'm always amazed by this. Right? I'm always fascinated by who gets the blame. Don't get me wrong. Blame should be handed out. The way it works in real life is the same way it works in sports. In sports, you go back, watch tape, and you start to go through and go like, who messed up? That's what real coaches tape does, is who messed up. It's one of the hard things for coaches when they become broadcasters, or players when they become broadcasters, when you're watching replays, you know, you generally want to make things light and happy and positive, but the way in which we've been taught, or most of us, especially if been raised by a coach like I was and coached by good coaches, you watch tape and you try and figure out who screwed up. That guy didn't do that, and that's why that happened. I'm fascinated by the fact that no one has pointed out this is embarrassing to the Cowboys players. Is coaching an issue? Sure. And Jerry Jones has made it a bigger issue by pointing out coaching mistakes that he believes have been made. He's not necessarily wrong about that. But have you noticed that very few people have gone out and said, hey, you know, Dak Prescott is not only supposed to be a really good quarterback, and he was not last night, but isn't Dak Prescott supposed to have some leadership, some intangible to him? He had the it factor, right? That's what we're told. It's an it factor. But is the it factor only there when they're winning? Dak Prescott apparently is only responsible for the winning, not for the losing. His leadership is only good when the team is good. It's not bad. Like, look, when the boat is taking on water, is it the captain's fault that it ran aground? Sure. And it ran into the iceberg? Absolutely. But grab a damn shovel or get a big bucket and fill it full of water and get it off the boat. It is amazing the lack of accountability for everyone not named Jason Garrett. The one person that probably pointed it out is a guy who I feel like, I'm just going to say this. Like, look, I know Troy came at me on Twitter about the Andrew Luck thing. We're big boys. Like, that's the way it works. It's okay. I think he's been really good this year. I think he's been really smartly and strongly opinionated using his own perspective. Listen to Troy Aikman after the game last night.
I don't know how you come back from this. I really don't. And this is on the players as much as it is on the coaches. They've got to be better, but I'm not sure I'd even talk to the team this week. But the talk is over, and it has been over for a while.
Yeah, talking is over. Talking is cheap. People hear that and immediately think that Jason Garrett should just quit and shut it down. Don't even talk to him. No, the point is that what good comes from talking to them and motivating them? Like last week, remember Jerry Jones went in there and he's like, man, there were guys crying and everybody was fired up and everybody was motivated Sunday. And then, of course, they go and lose. Look, it's devastating when Brett Maher misses another field goal and they haven't cut him yet. Why is he still on this plane? Most of these guys had been thinking. But this comes down to performance, right? Remember when Dak Prescott first couple games would be like, man, pay him now. Pay him now. And I said, whoa. Dak Prescott is Draymond Green. Man, Draymond, when he's got Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant and Andre Iguodala, and nobody I would rather have as my integral piece to the offensive and defensive puzzle. Doesn't need the ball to be successful in offense, can guard all five positions, but left in a role of leadership when everything else is gone. How's Draymond doing this year? Right. When things are going good, Dak Prescott is a leader, is a franchise quarterback when they're playing against crummy teams. If you're playing against that Bears defense and things get difficult, where is the leadership now? I want to be paid like the top-level quarterbacks in the NFL. Hey, Pally, might want to play a little better. Might want to lead a little better. Might want to beat a team with an above 500 record. You know, just a thought there, huh? And I don't think that Dak Prescott is the only guy who should bear responsibility, but he wasn't good last night. Nothing can tell me otherwise. And it's not just his own performance, it's his team's performance. He's responsible for it. That's his team. Yeah, I mean, like, look, the most comical part about this entire thing is, and some of it I know is made for TV, Michael Bennett knew he's on TV, and so he's pumping up the team. Michael Bennett's been on the team for a month. By the way, it's the worst month of the Cowboys thus far, and he's the one firing up the defense? If that doesn't tell you just how dysfunctional, what a vapid wasteland of leadership the Dallas Cowboys have, nothing will. Michael Bennett has worn out his welcome with several teams the past couple years. He shows up, you're not playing well, and he gives some hard passion speech which doesn't actually have the players responding to it. I give you the Dallas Cowboys. I want you to listen. This is the question. This is the answer that everybody's talking about. I'll tell you what I hear. What I hear, and you listen to Jerry Jones earlier today on a Dallas radio station.
All right, Jerry, you come on every week, win or lose. You answer questions. You know the Tolos and the Cowboys fans want answers today. What answer do you have for how this team is playing right now?
We're not playing very well.
Are you embarrassed? Are you embarrassed as an organization about how the team is playing?
Get your damn act together yourself. Okay, now we're going to have a good visit this morning, but settle down just a little bit.
I mean, as a Cowboys fan, Jerry,
a lot to go over. Now, go on with your question, but I'm going to give you the answers I want to give you this morning. And I don't like your attitude to come in. I've been traveling all night, and I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
All right. So the first thing is, and there's a man named John Sawatsky. And if you listen to any of us who are at the other place, there was a time for about, I think, like 10 years. He was basically in an advisor role in teaching us about interviewing. And one of the key aspects to how he likes to interview people is not having trigger words. And if you listen to the second question, it was, "Were you embarrassed by what you saw?" Okay, he said, "We're not playing very well." The proper follow-up is something, who, what, why, when, where, how, right? How does that make you feel, Jerry? But by saying embarrassed, instead of answering the question, you answered the question kind of for him, you forced him, you used what's called a trigger word. Instead of answering a question, which is kind of a legitimate question, the interviewee hears embarrassed, and you go like, wait, you're already putting me in the embarrassed category. You understand? The classic mistake. Anybody has done it, but that's why you don't do it. The next question, by the way, which followed up, was what's called a double header, okay, where you ask two different questions, and sometimes they don't answer either of them, or they answer the easier of the two questions. So some of the flaws were in the interviews, in the questions, more than the answers. The part you didn't hear was Jerry Jones went on to say, hey, you know, we can't talk about anybody who's on another team because that'd be tampering. And we can't talk about somebody who might be coaching a college because they're still playing as well. Jerry Jones, in an effort to not say anything, Jerry did what Jerry always does. He said everything. He'll tell you his ATM codes by not telling, wanting to tell you his ATM codes. You know, it's not six, it's not four. It's above seven, but not nine. Right? I mean, that's what he's doing. Clearly, all the discussion about Lincoln Riley, that stuff doesn't get out by accident. The thoughts of maybe having Urban Meyer. Jason Garrett is done. But the bigger and more pertinent question, an important thing to think about if you're the Dallas Cowboys is, how good is Dak Prescott? We told you he was good to a point. Some of this is maybe confirmation bias for me because during his rookie year, I said loud and clear, why aren't they bringing Tony Romo back? He's the better quarterback, gives him a better chance to win. We saw it when Ezekiel Elliott was out. We saw it before they got Amari Cooper. We've seen it in big stretches. He's fine. But if you want to tell me it's more than about completion percentage, it's more than about numbers, it's about intangibles. Where are the intangibles now? The most important intangible asset is leadership. That is a position of leadership. And forget about whether or not he's accurate and throwing at dude's feet when he's rolling out. Forget about going through progression reads and reloading. That's when his accuracy wanes. Forget about all that. This team lacks leadership. You wouldn't play like dog crap on the road on national TV in a must-win game against the Chicago Bears if you had good leadership, let alone coaching that makes adjustments, and they did not. Man, Jera said so much, and so did the team. The team has told you it's not just coaching, it's leadership. It's not just coaching, it's quarterback play. And it's not just a potential NFL coach, it's a potential college coach. Jerry told you that by not telling you that.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Breaking news in the NBA. Let's get you to David Gascon.
Breaking news from Fox Sports.
Doug, they've lost 8 in a row. They're now 4-18 and last in the Eastern Conference. The New York Knicks have fired head coach David Fizdale and also his assistant coach Keith Smart. Last two ball games, they got beat by Milwaukee and Denver by a combined 81 points. So there's the hammer today for New York Knicks.
Yep, I tweeted that last night. 81 points, you know, that means the team's quit on him. Right? You lose by 44 and 37 in the NBA. There's your 81, by the way, that's my math. Team quits on you. So, saw this coming. Kind of interesting. Look, I'm not absolving David Fizdale of any of this. Okay? Again, this is a lot like the Cowboys thing, only a obviously different sport, and you're in a different kind of growth phase. Look, Fizz got into it with Marc Gasol when he's with the Grizzlies, and that caused him to get fired. So he got fired, went on TV. I've known David Fizdale for, I'm going to say 30 years. He grew up in Southern California. He was a little bit older generation of AU basketball player. I'm not that much younger, but I was several grades behind. So I competed against him when I was super young, barely playing. And he was a really good player, played at USD, University of San Diego. I personally really like Fizz. Really, really like him. I thought the Knicks whole thing was obviously highly leveraged to get Kevin Durant, get Kyrie Irving. And by the way, several people have come out and said Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant made a mistake. They went to the wrong team. They went to a franchise no one cares about. No one. And they're kind of a bad fit for that franchise considering the culture that franchise had and how close they felt like they were to taking that next step. And I'm not sure they didn't take a sidestep, even though they're obviously much more talented and going to be incredibly more talented when they get KD. That said, like, look, their plan B was not a great plan B. Right? Isn't that kind of obvious? Their plan B was not a good plan B. They signed a bunch of guys that dudes didn't want to two-year deals. Now, the media, or especially ESPN, is going to come out and say that David Fizdale was done wrong. I think he's a good guy. I think he's a good coach. But when you lose your team, when they quit on you at this stage in the season, you're going to get fired. There's nothing. That's what happened last night in Chicago. That's coaching. That's quarterback play. And it's really hard in the NBA when, you know, you're trying to develop these young guys. Meanwhile, you have older guys on short-term deals, so they're trying to continue to prove themselves. And those guys were in the NBA, they say you're open for a reason, right? You ever heard that? That, by the way, is going to be the title of my first book. So don't anybody, patent pending, trademark infringements, etc. The Knicks aren't trying to be atrocious, and they're accomplishing that goal, even though it wasn't one. But, like, you're also available for a reason. Like, you know, Julius Randle, got all that money. Like, yeah, remember New Orleans? He had a ton of scoring last year, didn't win. When he's in with the Lakers, didn't win. Marcus Morris, like, there's a reason that you're available. Open for a reason, available for a reason. Their plan B with a bunch of these forwards that no one wants or that people want but in more limited roles. I mean, you signed Marcus Morris and Julius Randle and Bobby Portis, all kind of sort of hybrid big forwards, centers and power forwards, and you think, like, that's the solution? Mm-hmm. Look, it's on Fizz, and if your team quits, you got to go. You got to go. You can't get them to bounce back. If they quit on you, you got to go. That's the rules of the game. But it is funny that their plan B, management's plan B, was awful. Awful. And in truth, David Fizdale should have been more picky, should have been more choosy. He's close with LeBron, was his longtime assistant with the Heat. Had he just been patient, maybe he could have gotten the Lakers job, or maybe been an assistant. And look, I think he took the Knicks job thinking they were going to get Durant and they were going to get Kyrie. It was a good plan. But you got to have a plan B. You go highly leveraged on one or two free agents, you don't get it. It's ugly in the big city.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Ezekiel Elliott was a top five pick. He was already well compensated. He was working his way into the fifth year of his contract, but that's not until next year. Like, he was already hooked up, going to get hooked up, didn't have to hold out. But he did. He cut in line, and Dak's sitting there going, like, are you kidding me? Right? This is a guy who the argument against, and it's a decent argument, I've made it, against Dak Prescott is, hey, 2 years ago the team fell apart. The team fell apart because Zeke Elliott got suspended. He got suspended because he was an idiot. He just did idiot things. Pulling down a girl's top at a St. Patrick's Day parade is idiot stuff. Like, what are you doing? Right? And then somebody took a picture of him inside a pot shop, which is not a big thing, but considering the stories of what happened at Ohio State and the pulling down a girl's top at the St. Patrick's Day parade and the getting pictures taken inside a pot shop when they're on a road trip. Like, what are you? You're just idiot stuff. And you get suspended by the NFL and it causes our playoff season. And I almost feel like Coach Kilmer from Friday Night Lights. Like, you killed my perfect season, Billy Bob. Dak Prescott sitting here going like, dude, wait, what? Now we're losing games. My coach who believed in me, former quarterback who set this whole thing up for me, he's going to get fired. No idea who the next coach is going to be. And oh yeah, by the way, like, dude, I was going to get $40 million a year. Doesn't mean he was going to. I'm telling you what he's thinking. His agents are like, dude, we turned down 30. We're going to get 40. Just be patient. It's all going to work out. Jerry's like, I got no problem writing checks until now because you're not winning. Because the argument for Dak Prescott was like, hey, guy wins until they don't. Until they don't. Man, he's sitting there and he, or if you take the airport analogy, you know, had he gotten to the gate early like he had planned, Dak's one of those guys that he got. Has anybody actually been to an airport 2 hours before it's supposed to take off? That's what's recommended, and I'm like, no way. But had he gotten to the gate when he should have gotten to the gate, he could have caught an earlier flight. Like, man, we got an earlier flight going to Charlotte. Would you like to hop on? Instead, now his flight's delayed. And he got bumped back from first class to stowage. You know, if I'm Dak, among the people I'm furious at, Zeke Elliott. You know why? Nobody likes a line cutter. Nobody likes a dude who cuts in line.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
John Middlecoff is a former NFL scout. He has become a superstar in broadcasting. Don't believe me? I saw Jason Barrett's website did a really cool story on him. He has a podcast called Three and Out on the Herd Podcast Network. It's outstanding. He joins us on the Doug Gottlieb Show. Last night is an indictment of who with the Cowboys?
You know, it's probably a combination of the owner and the coach, because the owner created this, right? There were questions last year about keeping Jason into this lame duck year, which is pretty rare in pro and college sports. I mean, how many Power 5 coaches in college basketball or college football or in the NBA or the NFL coach in their final year like this? And it's gone just off the rails. And last night, you know, they got their butts kicked by the Bills on Thanksgiving, and last night was probably even more of a butt-whooping. And you could tell kind of early on after that first drive, because that first drive, you're like, okay, the Cowboys kind of came to play. And then it just was a disaster, and the Bears kicked their butt, and we're kind of shoving them around. And it's not like, you know, Danny Trevathan was out, then Roquan Smith gets hurt on that first drive. You know, the Bears were losing guys. They didn't even flinch. They killed them. Would you even consider that thing close at any point after the first drive?
No.
It was one-sided.
Okay, so here's my thing, okay? And look, I understand this is kind of like the Knicks just fired David Fizdale. And what I said was like, look, I think Fizdale's a good coach. I think he's a great guy. I've known him a long time. I don't think that he is the biggest problem there. But when your team loses by 44 and 37, granted to two of the best teams in the NBA, they have quit on you, right? And to me, that's coaching, but it's also leadership. Do you hold Dak at all accountable for not just the fact that he didn't play well, but also, hey, we're told Dak's this great leader, and that team has quit?
Yeah, and I think the Fizdale example, when you say you could, like he would argue, and you just kind of do, like their team sucks. With this, you'd be like, well, Jason Garrett, his team does have talent. Someone tweeted out like the pregame speech of the Cowboys, and it was Michael Bennett.
Yeah, I saw that, and you're like, why is Michael Bennett, if Michael Bennett is your leader, who's been there for a month, and by the way, they've been bad for that month, but if Michael Bennett is your leader, you have yourself a problem.
Big time. I thought that was nuts. I mean, Dak Prescott, who everyone keeps telling us is a good leader, seems like a super high character guy, a guy that everyone rallies around. Why isn't he doing that?
You can be a high character guy and not be a great leader.
For sure.
That's like an important distinction. Like, I'm not sitting here telling you Dak is not everything he purports himself to be. Like, his personal story is amazing. He's a rags to riches story. Like, I'm not telling you he's a bad guy or he's any, but there's a difference between a guy who says and does all the right things and being a leader. I think this shows that he's not the leader that we are told that he must be.
You know what it also makes some sense, Doug, is why they would want Jason Witten back, because you saw him losing it. Clearly, he's, you know, a guy that everyone respects, people look up to. He's a guy that can talk. Now, the problem is it's hard to be a leader when you're just not good anymore.
Right.
And that's a problem for him. But it does now, when you look at last night, him screaming at people. Remember when he retired, or when he like left the booth and went back, and people were like, what? And it makes sense why the Cowboys would want him, because clearly they knew internally we might lack some internal leaders, because Dak's not that guy, obviously. Amari 1,000,000% is not. Zeke doesn't care at all. Defensively, you know, maybe Jalen Smith can become that, but clearly he's not that guy yet. I watch a team that, you know, I do think that toughness is, once you get to the NFL, for the most part, you're going to be a tough guy. Then it's a reflection of your coaching staff, how you practice, of the culture, and their culture just is soft.
Yep.
'Cause even the Bears, who are having this quote-unquote disaster of a season, their defense they still have a top three scoring defense. You watched them last night; they're still pretty good.
Yeah, they pushed them around. Look, I think you bring up there's a million kind of great points. This is where they remind me, in many ways, of Texas football, right? Where they have
a lot of hype, not much.
They got all these five stars. Like, man, we got all these five stars, and I thought like last week was the perfect example, right? Where Cole Beasley, who you used to have, and you know, Cole Beasley would cut off a pinky toe to play for the Dallas Cowboys. Grew up in Dallas, SMU kid. You know, he'd do anything. Undersized, you know. counted out, and he ends up kicking your ass. Meanwhile, you got the Michael Gallup. Michael Gallup walks in the room, and Cole Beasley walks in the room. You say, which one of these guys would you rather have as an NFL wide receiver? You're like, man, I'd rather have Michael Gallup. That guy looks the part. Yet the truth is that the Cowboys are made up of five stars, when sometimes you need those three stars that want to prove to you that they're better football players than the five stars.
And what's crazy is when they signed Cole Beasley for the Bills, I was like, I don't, you know, get a small guy. Allen's not that accurate. And then you watch him play for the Bills. And then I was on Twitter last weekend, and they, you know, obviously, you know, after that game, they were like carrying him in the locker room, how much he's meant to that team. And think of the Bills culture, toughness, you know, just like they would never, they might have lost last night to the Bears. They wouldn't have got shoved around like that. And I think Cowboys, because Jerry, who's the GM, but he's also this business guy. He's doing radio hits. He's not all end all be all with the culture, you know. And I think they've lost some of that.
Right.
Now, you know, you see this morning, you know, Urban Meyer type. I think Jane Slater tweeted out last night that they've talked. Would Urban? I would take the swing.
I can't see him being down with Jerry being Jerry.
Jerry ain't changing at this point in time.
I agree with you, but all these people like Urban Meyer, like, look, when you've been a college coach, you're a dictator, okay? You're a dictator. What you do goes. There are no, like, the athletic director basically is like, oh, okay, whatever we can do. You know, you want facilities, you want recruits, you want, the only people you argue and haggle with is admissions sometimes, right? Like,
yep.
You have a guy who's going to conduct his own impromptu press conference in a locker room, like, I don't know how Urban Meyer rolls with that, even if he would hire the right people and be a great leader as a coach.
Yeah, and to me, Urban's at the point he's got generational money in the bank. Like, this move would strictly, obviously he would get paid, but it would be a legacy. Like,
yes.
It would change. You would talk about him as one of the great, he'd be like Jimmy Johnson level. He'd be an all-timer. You know, Pete Carroll, one in the college, one in the pros. So I do think it's going to be intriguing. You're right, that's the elephant in the room, but he knows that. He brought that up with Colin, like, it is the Cowboys, and their roster is just really good. So
you know, it's funny.
He loves winning.
I apologize for cutting you off. Let me just. I asked him, and music you produced that day. I asked him when I was guest hosting for Colin why he turned down Notre Dame, which was supposedly his dream job to go to Florida. If it was about money, he said no. I looked at the rosters, and I thought Florida had a better chance to compete right away. It's just too hard if you don't have the roster. And I got to tell you, he ain't a dummy. He knows it ain't X's and O's. It's Jimmy's and Joe's. If he's going to do it, you only do it if it's a stacked roster, and this team has a stacked roster.
How about this? The other thing is, Doug, you got the Redskins, which are just historically bad right now and headed nowhere fast. And the Giants are kind of in shambles, and they just drafted a quarterback who might not be that good. And the Eagles have some rebuilding to do. So if you're him, or just a guy like him, you could justify, you know, I got a 2 or 3 year chance to make a run here. And it's the Dallas Cowboys, and I'll be the number one, whatever. I'll be talked about all the time. But, you know, these coaches don't even the money that gets talked about on social media, they don't even care. The money just comes with it. But this guy would get back in it to win. Now, I also think, as you watched last night, is their roster a little overrated?
Yes.
You know, I talked to a buddy in the league, but fixable. But fixable for sure. But I'll give you an example. I talked to a buddy in the league, and I said, you know, how does Zeke look to you? He's like, you know, he's still really powerful, and he runs really hard, but he looks like he's lost maybe just like half a step. Like, he's not quite as fast. And you just watch, like, he's not, when he first came in the league, he was fast and he was powerful. Now he's just pretty powerful. And he's still quick, but it's like he's no longer the quote unquote blue chip elite guy, you know? And like you watched last night, like, what was the difference between Montgomery? They were rolling out just how fast he was, how quick he was relative to Zeke. You know, it's not. I also think that the Dak Prescott situation. I get quarterbacks make more money, but Doug, I just under no circumstances could be comfortable paying Dak Prescott $35 million. And I like Dak Prescott. I couldn't do it.
I'm with you. And he's also got to be ticked that Zeke kind of cut in line because his deal might have been done already. There's a bunch to this. I'll also point out, here's another kind of pro Urban fact. Think about the guys that Urban has won with. Granted, in a different game. Okay, but he's always won. He's won with mobile quarterbacks who aren't great. Okay, but you know they do what he needs. He wants leaders. He wants guys that are mobile. You know that's what he doesn't need. A guy who can stand back there and throw 45 times. He doesn't need an Aaron Rodgers or a Peyton Manning. John Middlecoff, our guest. All right, I want to get to a couple other games. We mentioned the Bills and how impressive they were last weekend. Can they be the one? I know they give up big plays, but, man, they got a lot of speed at linebacker. Does their personnel match up better with the Ravens?
Yeah, to me, that's the key, and that's why I think the Niners, once they at least like in the second half kind of buckled down, you have to have team speed to play that offense on defense, and the Bills definitely have it. And they also have a defensive coordinator basically as their head coach in Sean McDermott.
Yep.
The other thing is the Niners' blueprint. I know Baldinger has broken this down on Twitter. Like they told their end to just take the running back, and they tried to get the linebacker to like spill over and get Lamar, and he was always late. Where I think that
take the Lamar, hit Lamar.
I know it makes no sense.
When is somebody gonna plant him? I don't want anything to happen to the kid.
Weekend.
Look, this is the reason the option has existed for 70, 80 years in football. Okay, now look, it's really hard. 11-on-11 football is really hard on the defense. Okay, so what you got to do is you got to keep the quarterback from running. And the reason no one does it in the NFL long term is because they hit the quarterback, right? Like that's what happened to Russell Wilson. Was he was with the Seahawks early on, he was running, then people started mesh point just hitting Russell Wilson every time when they handed off where they kept it. No one's done that. Does it start this weekend?
I think it has to, because the other strategy is just not working. And again, I think the Bills have been consistent now the last couple of years, one of the better defense in the league. I think the Ravens go down this weekend. I really do. And just the law of averages. Like how many? This would be their ninth straight win.
Yeah.
How often does that happen in the NFL?
Very rarely.
Team just wins nine. It just the law. Like they could still go 13-3 and lose this game. I like the Bills this weekend.
Patriots Chiefs. On paper, it's like how are the Patriots possibly going to score enough points to keep up with the Chiefs? Right. The Chiefs just showed up last week and like, all right, you guys messed around. You want to see us really play? We'll really play. But it's New England. It's December. We're counting them out. What happens in Foxborough?
The other thing, Doug, is last week against the Houston Texans, their number one attribute has been the defensive backs. They've just shut people down all season long, picking the ball off left and right. And Deshaun Watson and those guys lit them up like a Christmas tree.
Yep.
Well, you'd go, if anyone can light you up, you better believe Mahomes, Andy Reid, Tyreek, Kelsey, Sammy, the seven other guys he has that run 4-3 can be the Chiefs. Now, usually Belichick responds after rough losses because that wasn't just a bad loss. They got whooped.
They got whooped.
And that's a team, the Texans, that they own. I mean, Belichick owns the Texans, probably even more than like the Steelers.
Yes.
He has embarrassed them over the years. And that was the first time. It was weird to see. You're like, wait, the Houston Texans? This is, what?
Yeah.
And I do think, though, Andy's going to be – I mean, they had a pretty epic game last year in the AFC Championship game. Chiefs are getting the momentum back a little bit. I kind of like the Kansas City Chiefs in this game, and it's back to what you said. The Patriots, you can't just fix their issues. Their running back situation, Sony Michel, who I loved at Georgia, has just been bad. James White, you just know exactly what he's going to do at this point. Julian Edelman, their best wide receiver, is banged up, and he's just a slot guy. You know, N'Keal Harry, another guy that I like coming out, but he's been on IR for 9 straight games.
Yep.
We know how intense the playbook is with Brady, and he gets mad when you run the wrong route. Jacoby Myers, who they like a lot, but he's an undrafted free agent rookie. This ain't exact. And Mohamed Sanu, they trade a lot for him. He's just hurt. They just, you know, Antonio Brown lasted 7 days. It's just, you can't. Randy Moss and Troy Brown and Antonio Brown ain't walking back through that door.
Are you going Robert Parrish, Kevin McHale, Larry Bird? I'm walking through that door. Are you going Rick Pitino on me?
Wow, a little bit. I'm as big of a Patriot supporter. But their team is their team right now, and Brady, it's not like he has the element. Well, he can just bail him out with his legs.
Right.
Like they just don't have any other elements.
All right. One more real quick one, okay? Did you hear what Odell Beckham Jr. said yesterday? Where
he's gone. He's gone, Doug. He's going to have to trade this offseason.
What's his value? He's super talented. He's super talented, but you can't win with him.
But don't you think he actually hasn't been that, like, of all the people that have been getting crushed in Cleveland this year, he's kind of been low-key.
Yeah, except like, he's still
under the radar season.
Right, except you know, like he's handing goat hair cleats to Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't dispelled that notion of, I mean, he is what he is from a diva standpoint, but I think in terms of causing chaos and like demanding the ball and on Freddie, at least publicly, he's been pretty quiet about all that stuff. I still think his physical attributes are elite. you talk to people in the league, you got a game plan for him because his ability to take, you just go deep and, you know, guys are always following him. Opens up the middle of the field for Landry, who really just an outstanding player and who just crushes it every week. But, yeah, I mean, were they going to get a first, a third, and a player? Probably not. But I still think, like, would the Patriots give him pick 30? You know, would the 49ers give him pick 29? I still think they could probably be talked into it. Now, are they just going to trade him for that? You know, are they just really going to give up after 1 year? I think my guess is what happens is Odell goes a little NBA and just says, you have to trade me, and just makes it public. You know, it's like, I'm not playing here anymore. And he'll kind of have public sentiment. It'll be easy because, like, well, it's Cleveland, Freddie. I wouldn't want to play there either. He'll almost become a sympathetic figure, where last time he kind of got crushed.
Awesome stuff. John Middlecoff, 3 and Out is the podcast. Please download it. You just learn about football, and then follow him on Facebook, where the rants are ever present. Great stuff. Thanks so much for joining us.
See you, Doug. Have a good one.